stay out of my way, or you'll pay.
Listen to what I say.
How about I just go eat some hay? I can make things out of clay and lay by the bay. I just may. What do you say? Break it down.
Break it down. You sold my dead bird to a blind kid? Petey didn't even have a head. Hey, I just met you.
A message for all of them. Shake and bake.
What does that do? Did that blow your mind?
I came to play. There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees.
Cyclone Fanatics, it's time to get your finger on the pulse of Iowa State athletics. It's the Cyclone Fanatic Wilson Toyota Radio Show. Now, here are your hosts, Chris Williams, Tron Smith, and Brent Bloom.
And welcome, everybody, to a special Monday installment of the Cyclone Fanatic Radio here on 1460 KXNO. Little NCAA tournament preview for the Iowa State men's and women's basketball teams. We're here at Bench Warmers in Ankeny. Brent Bloom and Tron Smith from Wilson Toyota of Ames join me as always. We all drove up in our I got the Camry tonight. Bloom's got his Camry. Wife needed the truck this morning, Tron, because, you know, there's some snow out there. And I, hey, babe, just take the Tacoma. That thing's a tank. That can go through a foot of snow. It ain't going to be nothing today. Ran very well. What'd you drive?
You know, it's funny, man. I'm glad you brought that story up. I had a guy come in and ask me for the Chris Williams edition Tacoma.
Nice. So, did he really?
Hey, you know, I'm not really sure what that is. But
do
I
get
hey,
commission on that?
Sure, Chris. You get commission on everything we do. No, man, I drove a 2013 Venza.
Is that van you've been driving around?
Heck yeah! Hey, you know what? My wife's here. My son's here. You know, we got to rock the minivan. It's the swagger wagon. You know.
You know what? They're kind of making a comeback. I've been reading.
What
about
the minivan?
That. Yeah, well, this Venza.
Hey, you know, congratulations on the quadruplets, by the way.
That's how rumors get started, my friend. That's how rumors get started. Hey, no rumor here. We're going to fire this off. We have breaking news. The Iowa State women's basketball team, you know, all of the women's basketball coverage at Cyclone Fanatics brought to you by Wilson Toyota of Ames. They're big fans of women's basketball, as are we. Maddie Van Winkle, Ian Smith, they're covering the tournament preview. They just did the selection. Before we bring on Billy Finley to the Hy-Vee Hotline, we'll bring on our women's basketball expert, Brent Bloom. How are you, my friend?
Good to talk to you guys. I didn't think you were going to get to me there.
No, I was going
to I'd rather.
Charlie and I got to do the Toyota thing, and then we'll throw it to you.
I'd rather talk to Billy Finley myself, but interesting draw for the women as they get, not. I don't want to take Billy's thunder, but they get Gonzaga, the 12 seed. Iowa State gets the 5 seed, but that's at Gonzaga in Spokane. So a tough opening round matchup for Iowa State. It's a Gonzaga team that's won like 18 straight games. They get a 12 seed somehow. So a tough first one. But if they get past there, Georgia's the four seed in that same region. So anxious to hear what Billy has to say about
it. Well, let's bring him on. Let's bring Billy Finley on to the Hy-Vee Hotline here tonight on 1460 KXNO. Billy, final time we're going to talk to you. This is our last show until the spring game, but we're good to have you on here. Anxious to see some video of the ladies' reaction at Cyclone Fanatic later on. You get the Zags in round one. What is your initial opinion on that matchup?
Yeah, guys, thanks for having me on. You know, first and foremost, we didn't have to wait too long. We were right away, which was good. I'm sure Fred would have liked that last night. But,
yeah.
You know, obviously the women's tournament is very unique. You know, where 15 of the 16 pods have a host school. So we had a feeling first round or second round we had a chance to play on somebody's home court. You know, it just happens to be in the first round in a game where you think a 5-12, you know, you'd have a pretty decent advantage, but you got to go on the road and play a very tough Gonzaga team who's been to three straight Sweet 16s. They've won 15 straight games, 27-5. They know what they're doing over there. So a great team, obviously similar to Green Bay and Marist of the world that really haven't been kind to us recently. But I think, you know, it's a great atmosphere. I had a chance to go there when I was at Maryland. We lost to Stanford to go to the Final Four out in Spokane. It's a great place. Basketball fans, basketball junkies, they'll be packed, 6,000 people. So it'll be a lot of fun for our kids to go through that. And, you know, that's what you want in the NCAA tournament. Sometimes women's basketball, you don't get the crowd you deserve, even if they're cheering against you. So I think our kids know what they're getting into, and we'll be sure they know by the time we throw it up on Saturday.
Billy, I know it's early, and I don't know a whole lot about the Zags, but they have former K-State guard Taylor Carr, do they not?
They do, yeah. And just real quick on my iPad as I was over there, she's second on the team in scoring. So a kid we're familiar with, though, a little bit. And, you know, a couple years ago they had a really good point guard who got drafted the first round of the WNBA. Luckily she's still not there. But,
yeah.
You know, we're heading back to the office right now to look at some film. But we'll learn some more here soon.
Tron, you have to ask a better question than Bloom.
You know what? You know what, Coach? First of all, Bloom stole my thunder because that's where I was going. You know, the encyclopedia of everything when it comes to cyclones.
I love left-handed guards. Left-handed guards, I've got a thing for those.
You know, nothing like being back in the court. First of all, Coach, man, congratulations, man. Great season you guys are going on. Here's the thing, man. What better time for Anna Prinz to hit her stride? I mean, she's just been owning everything, and I'm including that Baylor game. She's playing great basketball. Going into playing the Zags on their own home court, perfect time for her to come on, isn't it?
Absolutely, and you know your counterpart Ian Smith just asked me that question with Matt Van Winkle, so catch the wrap up preview on Cyclone Zag.
Love it.
Absolutely, if there's ever a time for Anna Prinz to play the best of her career, we'll surely take it right now. Obviously, 32 against Oklahoma and Nicole Griffin, and 20 on Brittany Griner. So. And she's been, great in practice the last couple of days. So hopefully she's hitting the stride in the right time. The good thing for us, Gonzaga's tall, you know, and I think people will be like, well, why would you want him to tall? Anna likes playing against bigger people, and she'll be the first one to tell you that. So, you know, sometimes we get in worse matchups with teams that are really small. So I think from a height perspective, from a height lineup, you know, Gonzaga's not a bad draw for us. And then moving forward, obviously, you get Georgia in a 4-5 game, if you could get to that. And, I'd say we just win a couple games, and we'll be out in Spokane for a couple of weeks. You guys can come join us, because that's where we'd stay. So.
Deal.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that region is out there again. So I was thinking just camp out there in Spokane. And really
places.
Quickly, I know you saw Georgia, what was that, 07 in the round of 32. But since then, it's remarkable. You guys have made seven straight NCAA tournaments. I'm not sure how good – we appreciate how good this women's program has been. Just speak to that, and you guys are back in a familiar spot.
Yeah, Brent, I agree, and Ian Smith actually brought that up as well. And, obviously, I think when you're talking about 13 team programs have gone to seven straight NCAA tournaments, only 13. You're talking about UConn, Tennessee, Texas A&M, Notre Dame, Baylor. I mean, you're talking about the 13 in women's basketball. So when you can mention your name alongside those people, it's obviously a huge accomplishment. It's not just one team. It's not just one, you know, fluke year or a couple fluke years here or there. You know, it's seven straight years of a grind and a process that we've put in. And, you know, that's seen the league change. That's seen everything. So, you know, obviously you feel like what we're doing is working on a consistent basis. But we've talked a lot to our kids about the last 2 years we've been almost satisfied to be in the tournament. And we haven't won our first round game. Now we're taking a different approach, and obviously Gonzaga is going to be really tough, but we're going down there with a mindset that this is a business trip, and there's no reason why, you know, we shouldn't be prepared and have seen everything throughout the Big 12 Conference to go in there to a hostile environment and give them all they want, and hopefully move on to play Georgia and then further on. You know, we're the only team that's played Baylor three times in the country. It's not going to get any tougher than that. So that's one thing we remind our kids all the time.
Well, Billy, thank you very much. We appreciate the time. We know you're getting ready to go scout, and we've got a jam-packed show, so we are going to let you go. But we will we'll be following your team the rest of the way, and thanks for all you've done for us this year, my friend.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. We'll see you spring football.
All right. Sounds good, man. Billy Finley right there with the women's basketball program.
Saturday 3:15 is that tip there.
Okay.
So it will not conflict with the men. The men will go Friday, Sunday if they were to win.
That's
Friday.
Good.
But 3:15, right in the middle of the action, that's going to be a good game because Gonzaga scores the ball. Iowa State, you know, can get up and down and score the ball. So mark your calendars, 3:15, Iowa State-Gonzaga is going to be a great first-round game.
And I tell you this, just so you guys, you make sure you find this on the podcast. I think we were all invited to stay with Billy in his room down in Spokane.
We got to get out there, though. That'd be an expensive flight.
Well, you know, what do you want? You want a Sequoia? You want a Tundra? I mean, what do you need? We can just drive.
Let's do it, man.
Let's just drive.
Actually,
you drive? Or?
That's a good segue as we let Billy Finley go on the Hy-Vee hotline. We're going to get to it's actually fun. Bloom and I used to cover this kid back when we lived in Shenandoah and we're doing radio. He He's one of the, actually, statistically one of the greatest quarterbacks, high
no
school
doubt.
Quarterbacks in the history of the state of Iowa. His name is Chris Palmquist. He attends Notre Dame. He works in student media in Notre Dame. He's a nutty Fighting Irish fan. So we're going to have him on here in about 5 minutes, and we're going to, Sean, we can give him the business, man.
I mean, he'll get it.
Yeah, we can razz him, but he's a very smart young man, and he'll give us, he works in the student media, so he covers the team. He's going to give us some perspective on the Notre Dame Fighting Irish here in just about 5 minutes. So that's where we'll go now. Let's talk a little men's basketball. Last night, it was a tense 45 minutes at Fred Hoiberg's house. Gentlemen, he had the media over, he had players and coaches and families over and whatnot, and we all, I think, knew the Clones were safe. You know, we knew they were a lock, so we thought. But I tell you, when Creighton popped up there in that seventh seed, I would have put my mortgage on Iowa State going head-to-head with its former head coach, Greg McDermott, because you know the tournament, they like those little storylines. That didn't happen. I was standing next to Otzelberger and Abdul Massey. Matt Abdul Massey is going to join us on the program later on here tonight. You know, and they had their little crib notes out of where they thought they were going, and they kept crossing them off the list and crossing them off the list. And it got down to the end, and I'll give Otzelberger credit. Well, it has to be Notre Dame in a 10-7. He was right. Brent Bloom, he wrote a nice big article scouting the Fighting Irish. Good draw, bad draw. Indifferent draw, because I'll be honest with you, gentlemen, I got no clue if the Clones are going to win that round one game.
Yeah, I don't. Anybody who says they know doesn't know, because it's a flip of the coin. My first blush reaction was it's a bad matchup because they're huge.
Yeah.
I mean, they go 6'9", 6'10". The first guy off the bench is 6'10", and they're not just 6'10 guys like Oklahoma State has, where they're 210 pounds. These are large individuals, 245, 250, 265 is their other big guy. So they're huge up front, and the initial concern is Iowa State cannot deal with that size. They've struggled with teams in the paint that can just beat them up inside. However, the more I think about it, the more I think it's advantageous to Iowa State, because they can bring those big guys out. And I think Iowa State will have more success defending them in the paint with double teams and help side defense rather than isolating those other big guys on the Iowa State end. George Niang and Melvin Edgem will be able to get by those two post players whenever they want. And they are not a deep team. They are only eight deep. So if Iowa State can get them in foul trouble, I know everyone's worried about Notre Dame getting Iowa State in foul trouble, but I think the reverse is more true. And so that creates a big mismatch for Iowa State. But it's all about who dictates tempo and style. And Notre Dame's used to having a more of a half-court tempo where Iowa State wants to get up and down and run. But just think about this, guys. Let me ask you, how many times has a team dictated to Iowa State their tempo? Not very often.
No.
Maybe the Texas Tech game down
Tech
there.
Texas Tech would come to my mind.
And that's about it, right?
So Kansas State a little bit.
A little bit, but not.
They still play it up. Yeah.
So I think Iowa State's more comfortable with dictating to other teams rather than the opposite. So I don't think Notre Dame can slow them down enough to be effective unless they just suck the clock all the way down. And if that's the case, they're getting bad shots. So the more I think about it, the more I like the matchup, because I think Iowa State's used to other teams trying to get them into what they want to do. And I think Iowa State's the one who can dictate tempo.
Well played. I tell you this, I did get a chance to read your post there on Cyclone Fanatics. If you guys haven't read it, make sure you go there and read it out. Here's the great thing about this matchup. You said exactly right. Notre Dame's going to want to play inside. That's perfect for Iowa State, because we don't want to play in there. We want to shoot it outside. The thing about big guys is that 9 times out of 10, if you're a guy that size, you're not going to move that fast. And
right.
This Iowa State team is really, really fast. And I think they're going to have to get up and down the court very quick. They're going to have to keep the momentum, the tempo of this game really fast and be able to shoot the ball. The thing is this, though, because Notre Dame is going to play in a half set, and that's their game, their old methodical game. That's the way they want to play. We're going to have to play defense, which it just didn't work against Kansas. That's one thing we left in Ames, Iowa, when we went and played that Kansas team. We didn't bring it up. We're going to have to play defense, and we're going to have to play defense well.
When Niang and Edgem pick up one of those rinky dink early fouls, it completely changes the way games are played for Iowa State. I mean, those guys get so passive and tentative on defense, and you can't blame them. They're both undersized, and then they're freaking out about foul trouble, because it's been such a storyline, especially the second half. Bloom, you nailed it, and we'll get to Chris here after your comment here. But Mike Bray is not Scott Drew.
He's not.
He's going to have Iowa State well scouted, and you know that he's going right at those guys from the opening tip.
And it's just a matter of who throws that first punch, because if Notre Dame gets Iowa State in foul trouble and they have to go to Booker and Gibson, Iowa State becomes a whole lot more conventional. and a lot easier to defend because Booker and Gibson do not bring you out. So they can man up in the post with those guys. They don't have to worry about perimeter defense on Niang and Edgem. So who gets that first foul? Maybe it's that first two fouls. If it's Iowa State and Edgem or Niang picks those fouls up, it's going to be a tough uphill battle. But if it's the other way around, I think Iowa State can win this. And perhaps if things break right and they're making shots, I think they can win it by maybe 8 to 10 points.
Well, we'll see. Let's see what a Notre Dame guy thinks. How about that?
Let's do that.
He's our friend Chris Palmquist. He's an Iowa native going to Notre Dame. He's a nutty Notre Dame guy. I mean, he breathes Fighting Irish, knows a lot about the basketball team. He joins us from South Bend on the Hy-Vee Hotline. How are you, Chris?
Hey, not too bad, Chris. I'm not sure how I feel about the adjective nutty there, but
that's a good thing, man. That's a good thing. That means you're passionate. That's a very positive. We haven't talked to you in years. It's nice to hear your voice. I follow you on Twitter, and I see that you're doing well. My biggest question for you, Chris, what exactly was the reaction from Notre Dame's fan base? I assume you've been on message boards and, you know, reading all the articles coming out of that area. Good? Do they see this as a good draw, a bad draw? Are they indifferent? How would you gauge the Fighting Irish fan base?
You know, I think it's been pretty mixed. Anybody in the media realized what a difficult draw this actually is for the Irish. You guys were just talking about it. I've been listening. You know, the differences in style of play here is huge. Notre Dame wants to slow it down. They want to burn, and they want to, get the ball inside to their big guys. Iowa State wants to get up and run, and that is not Notre Dame style play. So a lot of fans here are pretty excited about it. They're kind of looking ahead to Ohio State, which is absolutely terrifying and a bad idea on their part. But I think people who actually have sat and looked about it realize what a dangerous draw Iowa State is and what a really good first-round game, I think it should be.
Hey, Chris, I know Iowa State fans are concerned, obviously, with the size of Notre Dame, but how skilled are those big guys? You see Cooley, and he looks like a Diet Coke version of Luke Herangode. and those other big fellas, you know, Sherman and Knight, both 6'10", but you wonder if they can make a shot. How skilled are those guys, and can those big guys single-handedly carry Notre Dame?
Oh, that's a great question. I mean, this team has changed so much from the middle of the year after Scott Martin went down. Martin wasn't the type of guy who was going to light up the stat sheet or anything, but he was the glue of this team. Really experienced guy, had been at Purdue, got his sixth-year medical hardship come back this year, and then his knees ended up betraying him. But that allowed Tom Knight to get into the rotation, and Tom Knight can knock down that 15-foot jump shot, which is huge for the Irish. If Iowa State decides to double Cooley, Knight's going to post up there at the free throw line near the elbow or down in the corner, and he can hit that 15-foot jumper. Garrett Sherman, on the other hand, he kind of fell out of the rotation for a little bit, got back in favor with that 5-overtime game against Louisville. He cannot hit that jumper as well, but he's more of the inside presence, similar to Cooley. But as you mentioned, Cooley is the guy that you guys have got to focus on. If he's going, he's the only guy in the Big East to average a double-double this year in conference play. So if he gets going, he can match up pretty well down low, and the man is a rebounding machine.
Chris P., what's up, man? Hey, I can deal with anybody named Chris. Have no problem with that whatsoever, man. Talk with me, though, man. You got to give me a little thug passion. You can't give me all those nice scripted answers, man. But it's good. Hey, I'm excited about the ball game as long as you guys don't wear that fluorescent neon green uniform you had on the other night. The thing I want to really address to you, man, is, I've seen Notre Dame play not as much as I would like to. I didn't think we were going to get that draw, so I'm a little behind the eight ball here. Thanks to Bloom, he's read everything. Have you guys seen a team that shoots this well? Let's just be frank. Iowa State is a killer when they're shooting from outside. Have you guys seen anyone this season that shoots the ball like this ball club?
You know, absolutely. That's the big question. I don't think we have seen anyone who's going to shoot as well as Iowa State has shown they can. I mean, Bray touched on it today on ESPNU when he was on for a little bit. He hasn't seen a team that shoots as many and makes as many three-pointers as Iowa State does. And if they're falling from the outside with Notre Dame's pace of play, they can't score enough to keep up with that. But if Iowa State has an off night, I mean, it could be something similar to the Louisville game, that 5-overtime classic here at the Joyce Center a few weeks ago, where, I mean, Louisville is head and shoulders above everyone else. And when they're on, they're pretty well on too, even though they're more known for defense. But when Russ Smith and those guys are hitting shots, they can light it up too.
Chris, I think it's a really talent-wise, it's a great matchup. I think that the two coaches are both upper echelon as far as X's and O's go in college basketball. If you were to guess here, what do you think that Mike Bray is going to try and dictate tempo with Iowa State? As Brent just noted, not a lot of teams have been able to do that. I saw a tweet you put out last night where you're kind of expecting them to, you know, to burn a lot of clock early. I mean, is that accurate? How do you think the Irish will attack Iowa State?
I think Gabe about got to. If they get into a track meet with Iowa State, they're going to be one and done yet again. Bray is, as much as I like Mike Bray and think he's a great fit here at Notre Dame, the fact still remains that he's only made one Sweet 16 during his time here, and that was way back in 2003. Notre Dame has got to run down the shot clock. They have got to prevent you guys from getting out and running, and they have to force it down low to Cooley and Knight and let those big guys do their work. That's about the only chance they're gonna have, and they're going to have to run that burn offense that really became popular a couple years ago for Bray when Heron Goody got hurt, or as you put it, you know, the Coke version of Jack Cooley. But they've shown that they can do it. The question is whether they're going to be able to do it against a team that likes to get out and run and hoist those threes like Iowa State.
Chris, we'd love to talk. You've been great, man. We'd love to talk to you for a little longer, but we got Iowa State assistant coach Matt Abdelmassey coming up here on the program, and we got to take a break. But thank you a lot for your time tonight. We really appreciate it. It was great catching up with you, and tell all of our friends there in South Bend, best of luck from the Cyclone Nation, all right?
Hey, thank you for having me. Best of luck to you guys, too. We'll see what happens on Friday night.
All right, man. Take care. That there is Chris Palmquist. Fun story. He does a lot of student media there at Notre Dame. Brent and I actually, when we were doing our radio days back in Southwest Iowa, Chris's team, we got to cover Chris's team, the Stanton Vikings. It's where my wife graduated from, and they went and won a state championship, an eight-player. I love me some good eight-player football. So Chris was the best quarterback I ever covered in high school, Brent. I don't know about you.
And one of the best quotes.
Yeah, he's great. He was our go-to guy when we had to do these sports features to get the kids on. We just called up Palmquist. He talked for 5 minutes on his own, right?
And you could tell how intelligent he is. But
very much.
I went from covering Palmquist, and then I went to the NBA. no, I don't say that. But he was a better quote than 99% of the NBA guys as a high schooler.
Yeah.
I mean, it's clear that he's got a lot of talent in the field, so I look forward to hearing from Mr. Palmquist in the future.
He was once on Jeopardy as a young man. For real, that's a true story.
And he brought some good points. It really is. Notre Dame cannot survive with Iowa State if they try to run with him. They can't. They can't do it. But if they dictate their tempo, if they get in the half court, Iowa State's going to have a tough time staying with them. So I don't know who wins that battle, and we'll find out pretty much right away, but I know Iowa State wants to keep that thing in the 80s. If it gets into the 60s, I like Notre Dame.
Well, we'll let Chris off of the Hy-Vee hotline. You got something,
John? You know, I think this is where you look at Fred and his NBA background, and it's just the way that he coaches. He always, you know, NBA coaches do a good job of adapting when it comes to different teams, and that's where I think Fred's just awesome at what he does. And that's why you don't see a lot of teams change the way that we play basketball. I think it's going to be a good game. If you had to put it, it's kind of like the tortoise and the hare. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a team moving fast. There's going to be a team moving slow. Let's just hope that the hare is smart enough to understand it's a pretty long race.
Is it a lot like playing West Virginia, though, with more talent?
A lot more talent.
Yeah, obviously. But
it's like West Virginia, yes, Chris, but they have shooters.
Yeah.
And so put two really good shooters on West Virginia and you get a similar
team. So is that the most similar team you would compare Notre Dame to that Iowa State has played?
I would compare more to K-State.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, aren't they more like that?
A little less talented version of K-State. Okay. They don't have a Roddy Magruder to take over again.
Yeah, and they're not as like physical and bruising as
I don't know.
Do you think so? Really? Because I haven't seen that. I've seen them play maybe twice this year.
They don't guard as closely on the perimeter, but inside they're just as physical as K-State. Because, again, Cooley's 250 pounds, Knight's 260, Sherman's 255. With that size, they can be physical. And so Iowa State has to combat that. So I think they're K-State in the post type, but not maybe quite as skilled in the guard court.
Well, I like that. You know, the thing that I like about that matchup, and it's funny that I'm saying this, we're talking about these big guys down here, is I like Niang for the simple fact that this kid's young and he's very skilled. If you ever watch this kid's feet, I said this before he came in, it's amazing how he you know, he's just really good at what he does. So you bring a big man like that, you get him out, he's 250 pounds. It's going to be hard to stay and move with George Niang.
Well, let me throw this out there. Notre Dame has struggled with combo forwards. And so I think two guys who are, well, I guess three guys, my big three for Iowa State. One, Lucius has to be good. If Iowa State wants to do anything, Lucius has to be good. But number two is Will Clyburn. Because if you look at the teams that have given Notre Dame trouble, they have a combo forward, somebody like a Clyburn. Otto Porter, Chris, you know from Georgetown.
Yeah, yeah.
Lit them up for about 23. He was like 8 of 11 from the floor, 11 rebounds. Just handled Notre Dame. They won by 15 points to the Hoyas in South Bend. So that's the type of guys that have given them problems in the past. Iowa State's got a guy like Clyburn who's not quite as good as Porter, but in that same mold. Will's got to come to play. Can't have a disappearing act like he had at times in the Big 12.
Boy, hadn't that been the story. We'll talk about that in just a little bit. We do need to take a break, though. I want to remind everybody that for the first time in the history of our company, I'm excited, we're going to be covering the NCAA tournament. Matt Van Winkle and I are heading to Dayton. We're leaving on Wednesday, going to get there for all the media stuff coming up on Thursday, and our good friends at Channel Seed have stepped up to the plate. It's hard for a small company that does not charge subscriptions to do things like this, and yeah, our awesome friends at Channel Seed, they stepped up and said, we know we need Cyclone Fanatic needs to be there, and they are supporting us, so support them, please. A lot of great products still available for spring. Find your local Channel Seedsman today. Check them out at channel.com. Also, tomorrow morning I'll be recording the Channel Seed podcast, as I do each and every Tuesday at CycloneFanatic.com. We're here at Bench Warmers tonight. Stop on in. Have yourself a Paul Rhodes pizza. We are the Cyclone Fanatic Wilson Toyota Radio Show on 1460 KXNO. Hey, Cyclone Fanatics, Chris Williams here. And one of the things I love about going into Mr. B's each week to chat Cyclones with Tim Sitzman, I get to watch how the store is run. Every customer is greeted sincerely. They're catered to their entire time they're in the store. The customer service is just really fun to watch. The employees are friendly. Let me tell you this, they know their stuff. So if you've never been to Mr. B's, trust me, you've got to check it out. They are the absolute best. That's Mr. B clothing for men and women. Located on 86th Street in Clive.
Hey there, Cyclone Nation. This is Tron Smith from Wilson Toyota of Ames. Consider this your personal invitation for the greatest car buying experience of your life. Located at 2212 South Duff Avenue in Ames, Wilson Toyota has been proudly serving Iowa Staters for decades, and we're proud to be the official car dealership of CycloneFanatic.com. Stop on in and check out our terrific selection of new and pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs. Or feel free to give me a call personally at 515-598-2029. Tell us that Cyclone Fanatic sent you, and as always, go Cyclones.
Hello, Cyclone Nation. This is Chris Williams here with a message from Channel Seed. Channel Seedsmanship is about being in your fields, giving you expert advice, and knowing your fields almost as well as you do. Selecting those elite seed products is going to help maximize your profitability. When it comes to getting the most out of your acres and your operation, put your trust in a Channel Seedsman. While you may buy one seed once a year, at Channel, we treat it as a year-round experience. Find your local Channel Seedsman today at channel.com. And remember, listen to the Channel Seed podcast every week at CycloneFanatic.com.
Maybe you're driving to work. Maybe you're driving home. Maybe you're driving the kids to school. Or maybe gas prices are driving you crazy. That's why you should drive by Hy-Vee and sign up for the Hy-Vee Fuel Saver Rewards Card. With Hy-Vee's Fuel Saver program, you simply shop at Hy-Vee and earn savings on gas. You could save $2 or more per gallon each week. Just to drive the point home, sign up for Hy-Vee Fuel Saver today. Some restrictions apply.
In this day and age, having a quality website is critical for your business. And with that comes the need for top-of-the-line web hosting. That's what we have at CycloneFanatic.com with Host Duplex and my good friend Sam Jadali. When I took over Cyclone Fanatic back in 2009, we had all sorts of technical issues. We tried multiple server platforms, and I really had no clue to turn. And that's when I met Sam, a Waukee guy who has turned the back end of Cyclone Fanatic into an absolute rock. Day or night, Sam is there when I need him, and Host Duplex is a clinic when it comes to customer service. That's why I'm recommending him to all of you out there in Radio Land. Visit Sam at hostduplex.com. Check out what he has to offer today. I will give you my word, it's a decision you will not regret.
Hey, Joe Stacy here, inviting you to tune into 1460 KXNO every Tuesday night, 6 to 7, for the Barnstormers Weekly Radio Show. We broadcast live from Overtime, 86th Street in Urbandale. Each week, we'll put you there as we talk Barnstormer football. We'll also get up close and personal with coaches and select Iowa Barnstormer players. Hey, we know you can't be there every week, but it's almost as much fun to listen in. It's a little rowdy and a lot of fun. Listen in to 1460 KXNO every Tuesday night from 6 to 7 for the Barnstormers Weekly Radio Show.
Phillips Floors is proud to support Iowa State Athletics and CycloneFanatic.com, the best site around for talking about Cyclone sports. Phillips Floors is a full-service flooring company that offers professional, high-quality installation of hardwood, ceramic tile, natural stone, carpet, and vinyl floors. Call us today for a free estimate and an in-home consultation in the Indianola area at 515-961-7300 or in Ankeny at 515-964-0454. Visit us on the web today at phillipsfloors.com.
Your home for Iowa State women's basketball is right here. This is head coach Bill Fenley on Des Moines Sports Station 1460 KXNO.
Welcome back to Benchwarmers in Ankeny, the Cyclone Fanatic Wilson Toyota Radio Show. I am Chris Williams, joined by Tron Smith and Brent Bloom. Apologize, I was finishing up. I had a few of those cheese curds.
Oh man, these
I was chewing up on. They got a good. They got
chips
good.
And cheese. Oh man,
they got the wing deal. The 45-cent wings here on a Monday. We've never been here on a Monday. I think we're all trying wings tonight.
No, I'm not. I'm about sticking that. With the Paul.
Benchwarmers, though. I mean, we're talking game watches now.
Friday night.
Yeah, Friday night. I mean, here, and then we promote them at the Keg Stand, too, do all of our recruiting party every year. And man, I mean, I was talking to Ryan Greening over there and Joe Farron here, one of the owners of Benchwarmers, and they're going to be crazy. If you're not going to be there, I don't see any reason why. We've got two game watches in the most populated areas of the metro. I would be hanging out at one of those places.
Well, why not? I mean, the nice thing is that you come in both of these places. You can find a TV anywhere.
Anywhere.
I mean, that's a nice.
And here,
food,
that's
man.
Cool about Benchwarmers too. I mean, they turn everything else off. I mean, it's just a game, and
it's the way it should be.
Yeah. before we get to Matt Abdel-Massey, I want to give a quick plug to my friends at CustomGraniteIowa.com. Of course, Tron, I've told you, you know, we're both homeowners, and you're always trying to do things to increase the value of your home. And my guy Mike Fontana over there, he actually has a burger named after him. The Fontana Burger right here at Benchwarmers. But he came over and installed these granite countertops into my house. And I tell you, woo, it changed everything. I had a friend come over the other day, and he's like, wow. I mean, it's like a brand-new room, CustomGraniteIowa.com. They can hook you up just like they did me. They change everything. I mean, and your wife is going to be so happy. A happy wife is a happy life. And if you go to CustomGraniteIowa.com, they're going to hook you up at 515-965-7876. Again, that's 515-965-7876. Let's talk some Notre Dame, Iowa State, as we wait for Matt Abdel-Massey to join us on the Hy-V hotline. I'll take this. You know, I think it's been a trend from our fan base this year. It seems to me like they freak out a little bit more after every single loss. And I don't know if that's just because there's more, like, really animated people on our website or if it's more that, man, they really want to win. They're very hungry and they're very passionate. I didn't take too badly to that Kansas loss the other day, though. I think, and I'm kind of contradicting what I've said a lot this year, I think that that team may be in a zone right now to make a little bit of a run, being the Kansas Jayhawks. They didn't lose anything in losing to Kansas the other night. Bloom, you touched on this earlier. Something's not right with Corey Lucius.
Right.
I look at him. He doesn't seem like he's all – and it's not mental. I mean, he's engaged in the game. It's not like he's not trying. He just doesn't look like the same player. I'm not positive. He may be tweaked. So I don't know. And hopefully, you know, a week off, he can get back to being Corey. Because you got to have him playing well to win that basketball game on Friday.
Well, listening to Mr. Otzelberger on KXNO earlier today mentioned that Corey might have a bit of a tweaked hip.
Okay.
So perhaps that
– That makes sense. I had not heard that. Thank you.
However, I mean, a hip's one thing, but I'm glad he made a couple shots in that second half of the Kansas game because there was a point where he was about 0 for the tournament in that second half. He made a three, then made a breakaway layup that almost rimmed out, but he got it to go. Iowa State needs Corey Lucius to be the same guy he was in the middle of that conference stretch for a couple of reasons. One, he makes that offense go. But two, he's used to the stage. Yeah. Here's a guy who's played in the Final Four. He's played in how many NCAA tournament games? When he gets to Dayton, he's not going to be rattled. I don't think many of these Iowa State guys will because they played in it last year. However, playing in 12, 14 NCAA tournament games is a lot different than playing in two. And so Corey Lucius can be good. I think this Iowa State offense can be good as well.
You know, the thing is this. I look at Corey, and what I would say to the kid is this. You have more of an impact than just scoring. When Corey has it in his mind and he's going to distribute this basketball, this team is a totally different team. It brings everybody to life. And I think when you're not shooting well and you're a shooter or in your mindset you're a shooter, it kind of throws everything off. I agree with you. I'm glad that he scored the basketball. Here's the thing. This kid, the kid we watch in the Big 12 tournament with the turnovers and all that, listen, man, your eyes are not connected to your hip, okay? If you got a bad hip, you can still see. These are just bad passes. He just needs to slow down and understand that he can play, you know, the same position that he's always played. But I want to see him get everybody involved because when he does that, he is a deadly player when it comes to his offense.
He's a guy who's often been overlooked, I think, this year, just how valuable he has been to the team, especially when they're doing well. Corey Lucius really is at a outstanding year once Big 12 conference play, and the Cyclones definitely going to need him on Friday. Matt Abdelmassey, Iowa State assistant basketball coach, joins us right now on the Hy-Vee Hotline, the Cyclone Fanatic Radio Show. Matt, the Cyclones get the Notre Dame Fighting Irish on Friday, and immediately came to my mind when I saw that matchup, I wanted to talk to you because you are a Big East guy. You worked at St. John's for a while. Yeah, you're born and raised in New York. So I would assume this is a basketball program, Mike Bray's program, that you are fairly familiar with. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah. No, I was very ecstatic when we saw another Big East school. Of course, we had the success beating UConn. And for me, growing up as a St. John's fan, UConn was not a team that I liked very much. So having the opportunity to play them and beat Jim Calhoun, it was the one of the greatest feelings I've had in my short career in basketball. And looking forward to trying to beat the Fighting Irish because, once again, another program that I don't have very good thoughts about.
Matt, we've talked about tempo for the first 40 minutes of the show. How important is that? I know Notre Dame, a more of a methodical team. You guys want to get up and down. Is that key number one for one of these teams to get a win on Friday night?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I mean, they do a heck of a job. They're such an efficient offense. And really what we have to do is set the tone really right away at the tip. And that's by trying to pressure them and just create them to be a little bit more less likely to use 30 out of the 34 seconds on the shot clock and try and establish our game early. And that's by making shots, running out in transition. But really the biggest key is we have to rebound the basketball. If we rebound the basketball, I really do think that we'll be in position to hopefully win this game. But then again, listen, at the end of the day, they're playing in one of the best conferences. They've had tremendous success. It's an incredible program coached by a very, very good coach. And their efficiency on offense is very comparable to us. It's just they go about it a different way. And we've been preaching our guys these last, you know, 36 hours since we've known we played Notre Dame, is we really have to do a good job of rebounding the ball.
Matt Abdelmassey joining us on the Hy-Vee Hotline. Remember all of our NCAA tournament coverage at CycloneFanatic.com. Brought to you by our good friends at Channel Seed. Visit them at channel.com. Matt, a lot always made of your guys' three-point shooting and it being the key to your success. I think that if folks would dig a little deeper, they would see the as you just mentioned, the defense and the rebounding statistics is obviously, it's a huge part of what Iowa State does, and you guys don't deny that, but is too much made of just the simple fact, well, if Iowa State's shooting well, they'll win. If they're not, they will lose, in your opinion?
Not really, Chris. I mean,
I love it. Thank you.
at the end of the day, we have to make three-pointers. I mean, that's our identity as a team, and we do it very, very well. I mean, we shoot them at a high percentage. But then again, listen, when we're off, I still think we have the ability to create enough offense to stay in games and win them. But at the end of the day, we have guys that can make those shots. They're given the green light to shoot them. And in practice, we're working on the spacing to get those looks on the perimeter. And that's not going to change Friday because it hasn't been any different this season. It wasn't any different last year. And it sure as heck's not going to be any different this weekend.
Coach, how is it, man, to talk to you, man? I always enjoy it. Every time we got you on, I'm waiting on Tony Soprano to jump on and tell me to wait a second. So it's my pleasure to have you on here, man. Here's my thing, man. I've been watching this team all season this season, and my eye always draws to Will Clyburn. He seems to kind of be the guy that can make this team go, in a sense. And he's kind of – I don't know what he's doing. I don't know what he's doing. Sometimes he's there, sometimes he's not. Is this something that we want to get him going early? You know, can we? I mean, will you guys look at going to him early and often? It just seems like these past few games, he's just kind of, I don't know, just kind of disappeared.
Well, I'll tell you what. If you look at the games Will's had at games where he's dominated, it really starts on the glass. When he goes out and gets rebounds, whether it's an offensive rebound, put back, for a layup or a big defensive rebound where he initiates the offense, and that gets Will going early. It's almost like it gets his juices flowing. It gets him feeling more comfortable. That's when he's the most productive for us. And at times, he's not being assertive enough going to the glass, and that's where I feel like maybe Will gets lost in the shuffle then on the offensive end. Because, listen, at the end of the day, The guys that anchor this team, and it's the truth, is Corey Lucius and Will Clyburn. If those two guys are off, we really will struggle to win basketball games with their leadership and being in big moments. We need both of them to get going, and hopefully Friday both of them are going.
Well, hey, we got a lot of glass down at Wilson Toyota. If he wants to stop down there first and hit him, I'm okay with that.
I like, Matt, that, I was, that little plug. That was good, Tron.
I wrote a little deal. It was after the Oklahoma game. And I thought that Will Clyburn's, you know, that 4 or 5 minute stretch that he had, he had been good this year, but I didn't know he had that gear in him, I guess. I mean, he just flat out took that game over. Is that something, without getting into specifics, of course, because you can't, but I mean, is that something that you could take those highlights and show a, you know, 5-star recruit and say, look at the freedom that Fred Hoiberg gives you to play with? Because, I mean, you guys were sitting there, I mean, you're just isolating Clyburn, and he was carving people up there for 4 or 5 minutes. Melvin kept you in that basketball game, but Will Clyburn won that basketball game. That 4 or 5 minute span just really blew me away on Thursday.
Well, when it comes to recruiting and what videos we can show them, we have a lot of videos we can show them when it comes to freedom. Because, I mean, I know you remember the kid we had last year that was given all the freedom in the world and really made the most of it, being Royce. And same thing with Will this year. And
even Deontay the year before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and even Deontay, and how he's gotten him to the point where now he's on an NBA roster. I mean, that's the thing with Coach Hoiberg's system, is if you're a kid that wants to try and make it to the next level and you have the skill set, this is a place that you should want to come to, because you're given the freedom as long as you do things the right way. And Will's one of those guys that showed that in the Oklahoma game, where he had the ability to take it over by isoing him on the wing or up top and just breaking down the defense, drawing fouls, making big-time three-pointers. But I mean, that's one of the joys working for Fred, is that at the end of the day, that freedom is there for all our guys.
Well, Matt, we appreciate your time, man. Good luck scouting Notre Dame. I'm sure you guys are very busy, and we will see you in Dayton coming up in a couple of days. All right.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Matt Abdelmassi, Iowa State assistant coach, here on the Hy-Vee Hotline, Cyclone Fanatic Radio, here at Benchwarmers in Ankeny. We're going to do the wings tonight. Bloom, you doing the wings tonight?
I'm doing the wings. I don't know what kind of sauce yet.
Yeah, well,
I got one decision made. I'm not good with decisions.
No, you're not. You've been very undecisive your whole life.
I've got 12 minutes to figure that out.
You do. Best of luck to
Thank
that.
You.
Tron, anything come to
are
your
these,
mind? After
are these bone-in or bone-out wings?
These are
bone-in.
You guys got me on food. No, these are boned wings here at Benchwarmers.
No, I look at this thing, and I think we're all on the same page with this Will Clyburn thing. You know, Chris, you hit it right on the head. I watched that kid through that span, and I was amazed by what he was able to do, just pretty much take over the ball game. And when you see a kid with that kind of talent and then you see him go away, I think as a fan, it's really frustrating to know that you can do that, that he can do that and he just doesn't do it. So hopefully, you know, he's kind of paying attention to what he can and cannot do, and he's willing to do that. This is the big time, man. This, you know, for guys like him and Corey, this is it. You lose, it's
yeah,
over.
It's done. Okay?
Do you know what I like about Matt Abdelmassi is that brutal New York honesty.
Yeah.
You asked him that question, you kind of lead him into an easy answer.
Because Kirk Holland, our friend, he's working on a deal. And I don't know what the stats say, but I feel like if Iowa State is rebounding and playing some defense,
sure.
Just they made 7 threes against Oklahoma. They won ugly on a neutral court against a good team.
However, I love the fact that he says that we are a three-point shooting team.
Yeah.
Embrace the bomb. That's kind of my theme for the NCAA tournament. I've got a column that's running sometime for you this week.
Probably do that on Wednesday.
That shows why Iowa State has deep run potential with their makeup. And I'll tell you why after the break. How about that?
We're not taking another break.
Here's why. You look in the past 5-6 years of the NCAA tournament. Last year's best three-point shooting team coming into the dance was Florida. They averaged 9.9 threes coming in. They make it as a 7 seed all the way to the Elite Eight. 2011, one of the best three-point shooting teams in the field, none other than our VCU Rams.
Yeah.
They start as a first four. They make an obscene amount of threes. They average almost 12.5 threes in the tournament. They get all the way to the Final Four, beat some dang good teams on en route. 2010, best three-point shooting team in the field, Cornell. Cornell gets to the Sweet 16 as a 12 seed. You can go all the way down the line. 2008, best three-point shooting team, Davidson. Steph Curry leads them to the Elite Eight. Back in 2005, 2006, remember those West Virginia teams? Best three-point shooting team in the field.
Boy, that's a long time ago.
They go to the Elite Eight in 05. They go to the Sweet 16 in 06, and that was the team coming in as a 7 and a 6 seed that year. So if teams are making shots in this tournament, you can really make a run. So that's why Iowa State, embrace the three. I know people say we live and die by the three. I don't care. Shoot the ball. You're good at it.
Yeah.
Shoot it and make other people defend you. And I don't know if teams are ready to prepare what Iowa State can throw at them, because it's such a different thing than they're used to.
Well, and Mike Brace said today, Andy Katz had that like marathon show. It was the same show that they put Iowa's logo up instead of Iowa State
right?
During the Mike Bray interview, which is a complete disaster on the worldwide leaders' part. But no, Mike Brace said, I mean, he goes, I'm really glad we got a Friday game.
Yeah,
because I get one more day to get this team prepared for this type of offense. And Chris told us a little bit about that interview too. I was watching it, and he goes, they take the most threes, they make the most threes. It's very different than what we're used to playing against, and it reverts me back to Bob Huggins in Ames earlier this year, Brent. Do you remember after that game, he flat out said, we don't have the players to play in this league.
No.
We just don't. We cannot keep up and down with these guys. And as an Iowa State fan, you're hoping that really – works its way into the NCAA tournament.
You hit it. Hey, Bloom, you're right, man. This is a scary team when they're making threes. Ask Kansas, even though they beat us
right.
Three times. This is a team that I'm sure everybody out there is saying, I do not want this team. It's great to watch them play, but again, man, it's frustrating when they're not hitting the threes.
Of course.
It's one of those things, but I do. I look at the bracket. I look at the entire thing. If they're hitting, I don't know if there's a team down there that can beat them, and I include Ohio State. I just think that they can stand out there and when it flies, it flies.
Be a lot of home court advantage for Ohio State in that one.
And Chris, you bring up a great point, though, about teams not being used to the style Iowa State plays, namely West Virginia coming from the Big East.
Yeah.
I took a look at the numbers today. In the Big East, only 5 teams made 200 or more threes on the year. Okay, just 5 of the 15. Iowa State made 325
threes.
That's insane. So it's almost, you know, 60% more than most of the Big East. They just don't shoot a lot of threes. Now, you could say that's good defense. It's preventing teams from taking threes. But Iowa State, if they don't have the initial look, they'll step out 2 feet, and they'll shoot it from there. And it's such a different philosophy to take. When Iowa State is in their rhythm, in their flowing, and that's why Lucius and Clyburn are important, there's nobody that can guard them. There really isn't. Now, they cannot go into a game like they did against Kansas and shoot 7 of 30 and then give up 60% on the other end, because that kid should be in a hurry, and Notre Dame will beat them if that's the case. However, I love the way this bracket opens up, because I don't think there's a team that if Iowa State plays their A game that they cannot beat.
And I think Corey Lucius is going to have to enforce his will when it comes to driving the basketball. I think he's a great hand. He can handle the ball very well, and he's very fast. He reminds me a lot, as we watch the Miami Heat, he reminds me a lot of Flash. He reminds me of Dwayne Wade, because when he decides to move, he moves very fast and he gets there. It's one of those things to where, again, this kid's going to have to be engaged. He's going to have to drive and kick. He's going to have to be precise with his passing. And you know what? When you do things like that, and you're a great passer, everything else comes to you. He's just got to get comfortable and do that. I think we'll have a good game. But I think he's going to be one of those major keys. He's going to have to drive the basketball. He's going to have to make them guard him.
Yeah, it's I don't know. It's a fun matchup, though. I think Iowa State's better off. Just knowing what I know about this basketball team, seeing what I've seen, they're better off getting Notre Dame in the first round than a VCU. I mean, this Cyclone roster, they played their two best games of the year, in my opinion, arguably, of course. You go into debate on this, against the Kansas Jayhawks. They like the bright lights, and I just feel like and maybe it's the transfer era. I don't know. They did it last year, too. Think about their non-conference. They weren't very good in the non-conference either season. The lights come on with the Big 12 play, and all of a sudden these guys show up. Not that they wouldn't in an NCAA tournament game. You'd like to think that wouldn't be the case. But, man, I like the big name with a Notre Dame trauma.
Well, I think guys like that, you look at Will and you look at Corey, you look at, even Niang, these are guys that have come up, playing street ball and saying, listen, I'm better than you.
Yeah.
I remember Royce White last year looking at the camera saying, I'm the best player on this court.
Heron Godey was Niang's childhood idol, so he watched Notre Dame all the time.
These are the guys, and that's where that comes from. They like the bright lights. They don't believe that anybody's better than them, and that's why they play Kansas. They live up to that. So hopefully they can get out there and just keep that. It's one thing about keeping that kind of mentality as a player. You got to have that whether the team you're playing is good or bad, and that's what makes great players great.
And you look at intangibles. I think it's a small part. I still think when the ball goes up in the air, it's about who executes. But coming into the game, Iowa State's knows that this is a big game. I think their motivation is a shade higher. Listening to some of the Notre Dame guys yesterday, they were disappointed they didn't get a higher seat.
Mm-hmm.
So they see themselves slip to a 7. They're like, okay, well, whatever. We've got Ohio State in the next round. I'm not saying they're taking Iowa State lightly, but the fact that Iowa State's the 10 seed, they're the 7, I think there is some sort of mindset difference there with Notre Dame perhaps looking ahead, where Iowa State knows they know better than to look ahead to Ohio State. They're focused on Notre Dame. They're the Big East school. They've got Abdul Mass, he's a Big East guy. All those guys have seen the Irish in the tournament for the last 4 years. So Iowa State maybe gets a notch on the mental edge as well.
Well, some bracket guy was on Murph and Andy earlier today, and according to his calculations or whatever, Iowa State, I think, had the second-best chance of a dog. I think it was a dog to get to the Sweet 16. They like that route. Boy, you're a savant college basketball. Ohio State, quickly, we don't have much time. Would that be a decent matchup? How do you view that?
I think it would be a decent matchup. Ohio State would be the obvious favorite. I'd guess it's probably anywhere from a 6 to a 7 point line if those two were to meet. Ohio State is a brilliant defensive team. Thad Mata is a great coach. On the perimeter, defensive-wise, they might not be a better team with Kraft and Ross and the length they have. And they also have a great scorer in Deshaun Thomas. But their inside game is not strong. They've got a young guy in there along with an older guy in Ravenel who's developing. And I don't think they're going to be able to beat Iowa State one-on-one in the post like we've seen from Kansas, like we've seen from some of those other stronger post clubs. So I think if Iowa State were to get there, they could get them.
Tron, does Iowa State go to the Final Four?
No, sorry.
Tron, we're going to be back. Spring football preview show coming up on April 20th. Find more information at cycleandfanatic.com. Big thanks to Wilson Toyota of Ames for all their work this year and helping us out with the program. My friends Brent Bloom and Tron Smith as well. It's been great to be here at Benchwarmers in Ankeny. Remember, big-time game watch coming up on Friday. It's the Clones and the Irish. We'll be back next year, everyone. Thanks for listening.